Good morning, Northwoods. We are so glad that you are with us this Sunday. My name is Kayla.
I'm Hope, and like Kayla said, we love that you are here to worship with us and learn about God and some of His redemptive names with us this Sunday. So Kayla, you actually just got back from the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, we are partners with an organization called Solid Rock International. And so I just thought, since Kayla's here doing the intro, that she could just share with us a little bit about, you know, what you guys did and just really where did you see God moving while you were in the DR?
Yeah, well, it was an awesome trip. My first time, actually everyone on our team's first time heading to the Dominican to partner with Solid Rock. And one of the cool parts, if you don't know, I work with students here at the church. I used to be in children's ministry. Now I'm with students, with teenagers. And we got to put on VBS while we were there. And so we saw kids accept Christ. You know, we saw them playing games, having fun, learning about Christ. We got to do skits of, you know, familiar stories, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan. And so just really cool to see the next generation being impacted in a, you know, different language, different country, and also to see our own Converge students leading the way on that. So students impacting students, it was really awesome.
Yeah, that's so good. So again, that doesn't really have anything to do with what we're doing this morning, but I just thought it was so cool and wanted to share that with you because, you know, we just want to keep you in the know about the things that are going on at Northwoods. There are so many things, and so sometimes it's hard to keep track and know exactly what's going on. And so speaking of that, there are all kinds of ways that you can get connected throughout the week and even this morning. So if you're looking for things to do, maybe that Monday through Saturday, the days that you're not in church, I really encourage you to go onto the church website or open up the Northwoods mobile app and look at things that are coming up. We are thinking ahead to fall. We're getting ready to launch a bunch of groups and classes, and even there are mission trips always coming up. So if any of that sounds exciting to you, I encourage you to check those out again on our website or in the Northwoods app.
Yeah, and one of the other ways that's great to stay connected throughout the week and up to date is our social media, right? We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we're newly on TikTok, okay? So if you're there, so are we, okay? Yeah. So lots of great ways. There's encouragement, there's devotionals, there's announcements about what's coming, again, some calendar items, and just an open way for you to see what's going on around here. And again, another way to stay connected, not just on Sundays.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we also want you to get connected this morning. So if it is your first time here, I want to say welcome, and I encourage you to text new to the number on your screen. That'll send me a message and I can connect with you this week and answer any questions that you might have.
Yeah. And then another great way to stay connected this morning, I mean, you're already here. Go ahead and use that chat feature, right? Go ahead, put where you're tuning in from, maybe a highlight from this week. Maybe, you know, you weren't in the Dominican Republic with us, but where did you see God on the move this week in your own life? We'd love to hear that. And also, if you're dealing with something that you need prayer, you need encouragement for, that can happen right there in the chat. If you put your prayer request there, our team, and also lots of time others join in and praying for you, or if you want private prayer, there's the prayer button on Northwoods Online.
Yeah. So again, we're so glad that you're here. Let's get ready to worship together.
Hey, good morning, Northwoods family. The word of the Lord says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So today we're going to lift up a song of praise to the King of Kings, because He alone is worthy to receive all glory. Come on, we say it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today. Come on, let's sing it out. It wasn't for nothing, now you shed your blood. So I'm going to live like my shame is gone. Won't be shackled to the way I was. Oh, I'm gonna live like my chains are gone, gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah. Done, done. He is risen and is done, and I sing hallelujah.
Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it arise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory.
Of the human heart. It's the greatest way of living. Come on, let's do this together. Let's sing.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. Oh, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like.
Church, sing that again.
Spirit of God.
If that's your desire today, I invite you to lift up your hands. Yeah, come on, sing it out. We believe that today. Hallelujah. There's freedom here today.
Baby, Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. I said my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory for the
Amen. Amen. Listen, I want to thank the worship team for reminding us this morning and preparing our hearts that we serve a victorious God. Listen, we never have to worry. We never have to worry about whether God's going to come from behind and win. He has already won. And listen, I hope today you know that you can have victory and hope in your family. We can have victory in our schools. We can have victory in our neighborhoods because God has brought that to us. And so praise God for that. Well, hey, good morning. We are so welcome. You can have a seat. We are so glad that you are here. My name is Bruce. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwoods, and we just want to welcome you. And if you are joining us online, a special hello. It's so awesome that we can have people not only here with us in our house, but watching all around the world, and so we want to welcome you. If you are new for the first time, we just want to say a special welcome to you, and we want to ask you to text NEW to the number on your screen. And then we also want to invite you to stop by the NEW Here kiosk outside in our lobby. We just want to connect with you. Listen, it can be very easy to slide in and slide out, but we want to make sure that you know that we are glad you're here. And so we just want to welcome you. Well, if you haven't already, we want to invite you to open up your Northwoods app and go to the connection card. There are a lot of different purposes of the connection card, one of which is you can submit any prayer requests that you have, and our online prayer team will be praying for every single request that is shared. Also, you can go back and refresh yourself on any announcements that we give and get even more details about what's going on in and around Northwoods. And parents, I don't know if you knew this, you can actually use the Northwoods app to check your kids in early as you're arriving to church for Discovery Land and Quest and kind of streamline that check-in process. I think the only thing the Northwoods app doesn't do is valet park our cars, but I hear they're kind of working on that maybe in the future. But again, take advantage of that because we want to make sure that you have access to all the things going on here. Well, we are in the middle of our series called Seven, and I'm excited for Pastor John to come up and continue bringing the word today to help us understand the seven redemptive names of God. So that's going to be continuing today. And then also just want to thank you for your giving. Your generous and consistent giving allows every ministry of Northwoods to take place. So thank you very, very much for that. And there are a number of ways you can give. You can drop your giving in any of the drop boxes in the auditorium or outside on our campus. You can mail in your giving. You can go on our website and you can give that way. You can even give via text. But again, we just want to thank you for just being faithful in serving the Lord and allowing Northwoods to do what God wants us to do. All right, well, how many of you have ever heard the phrase Christmas in July, right? Okay, anybody listening to Christmas music yet? Be honest. Don't be ashamed of that. So, well, hey, you know, Christmas is going to be here before you know it, and that means a flurry of activity. See what I did there? Kind of a flaky joke. But anyways, we are already, thank you, we're already preparing for our Christmas production. And listen, you know, it's just an incredible honor to see and be part of this Christmas production that literally reaches tens of thousands of people every year. And we're excited about what God is even doing this year as we prepare. It's going to be here before we know it. And there are a number of ways in which you can get involved. There are hundreds of ways that we need volunteers to serve to make the Christmas production take place. Without you serving, there wouldn't be an event. I mean, people aren't going to come in for an hour and listen to me sing the best of Burr Lives. So we need people like you to make our Christmas production special. And so whether it's serving on the technical crew or guest services or childcare, there are a number of ways you can serve. And again, you can find more information on our website. But I want to highlight two that are coming up here in just about a week and a half. And that is our tech tour and our drum and dance clinic. So if you have seen our Christmas productions, you know that there's a lot that goes into just preparing the technical aspect for that, but also on a weekly basis. Listen, everything we do is really designed to create an atmosphere where people can come and experience the truth of Jesus Christ, and we want to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work. And that includes what we do at Christmas time. And so the tech tour, if that's something that you might be interested in, that's going to be on Wednesday, July 20th at 6 p.m. And not only will you get a chance to go behind the scenes and see the equipment that's used and meet the staff who helps put that together, but you'll also be able to get a better understanding of the vision behind why we do what we do on the technical realm. And so if that's something that you're interested in, again, that is going to be Wednesday, July 20th at 6 o'clock right here. Also on July 20th, but from 12 to 4 in the afternoon, is going to be the drum and dance clinic. Now, if you've seen the Christmas productions, you know that the drummers and the dancers take things to the next level. And so this might be something that you might be interested in. Listen, as far as the drumming goes, you'll be taught the different cadences early, so you can literally pick up the sticks and start learning how to be a drummer. I mean, being a drummer, right? You can't beat it. So that's an opportunity for you to be a part in. Now, the dancing, that takes a little higher level of skill that I do not have, so you will not see me up here dancing. But we do also have training and practices to help put that together. And so again, if you have just been touched and stirred by what you see here during the Christmas production, and either of those two are things that you might be interested in serving in, we just want to encourage you. You can either scan the QR code, visit the website. There's even a table outside, so after the service, you can stop by and talk to people and get more information. But that will be on Wednesday, July 20th from 12 to 4, and then the tech tour that evening at 6 o'clock. Well, again, Pastor John is going to come up now and continue our series on 7, but I would just ask that you would join me in prayer as we continue in our service. So, Father, I am just so thankful that you have given the leadership of this church the desire and commitment to stay true to the authority of your word and to make sure that the name of Jesus is lifted high day after day, and that we welcome your Holy Spirit to work. And so I just pray for Pastor John as he speaks, God, that you would speak through him to encourage our hearts, that we might get a better understanding of who you are, that we might worship you more. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bruce. Give it up for Bruce. You know, he's got the jokes. A couple weeks back, I think while I was out, I heard that Bruce got stuck in an elevator. And you want to know how he got out? He actually pried the thing open with his fingers and got out. And Bruce is the man. You know, he said he likes to do jokes. You know, a good elevator story always lifts me up when I'm down, you know. So, Bruce, thanks for giving us the announcements, man. And I hope you guys all had a good 4th of July. And, hey, let's give it up for Brother Timothy and my literal brother Nathan over the last 2 weeks. Did a great job preaching, starting off the first two weeks of our summer series, and titled 7. And before I go any further today, you know, I was out the last two Sundays, and I want to just start by celebrating and thanking the Lord for the reversal of Roe v. Wade. You know, 2 weeks ago, yeah, we can thank the Lord for that. When it was overturned, I was on the road. I was actually driving, and I sent a quick note out to our staff, but I hadn't had a moment since I hadn't been back yet to talk about it here at Northwoods. And I just want to say just a few things real quick here. And this isn't me being political. This is me being biblical, because I'm going to talk about places where the Bible intersects with what's going on in our culture. That's not being political. That's being biblical. And I know that abortion is a controversial issue, but there's no controversy when it comes to God's word about this. The Bible teaches that God is the creator and sustainer of human life, and that life begins at the moment of conception. This is foundational, and we should celebrate this decision that gets us closer to seeing the day when unborn children are no longer killed in this country. Understand, this is not a freedom issue. This is a killing issue. And so, church, we should celebrate this. We should thank the Lord for this. And I also just want to say this, because I know there are several of us who are well-meaning believers who would say, you know what, I believe that abortion is wrong. That's my conviction. But Christians should not impose, you know, shouldn't bring their religious convictions with them to the table and hope that everybody else would follow them. So, you know, Christians keep our religious convictions back. We don't bring those to the table. And I just want you to consider that there is no one who does not bring their own convictions to the table. Everyone else comes to the table with something. It might not be Christian convictions. It might not be biblical convictions. But everybody comes to the table with their own convictions. And so, Christians, we should not be afraid to talk about our convictions and bring those to the table as it applies to laws that are being passed in our country. And again, while we celebrate today, we know that there's more to do in our state. And I want to ask some of you to consider whether God is calling you to do more, perhaps sacrifice a significant portion of your time, effort, and money to help influence what's happening in our state. That means for some of you running for school board. Maybe it means running for city council. Maybe it means running for a political position in our state. We need people, we need believers who will influence the government of this state and country for good. So let's just stop and pray right now and thank the Lord for this decision. So Lord, again, we thank you that you are the giver, the sustainer of life, and that it is you and you alone who have the power to give and to take life. And so Lord, we thank you for this decision. And Lord, we pray for our state. We pray for the leaders of our state. I pray for the spirit of blindness that would blind people's minds to the truth of your word. We bind that spirit of blindness. And Lord, I pray you would release the light of your kingdom over the state, over leaders in our state. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up a young generation in this state and even out of this church of believers who will not be afraid to stand for their convictions and will influence what's happening in our state and our country for good. And so, Lord, we give you the praise for this decision and we lift our state to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as a refresher, in this series, we are diving into the seven redemptive names of God. Now, God has more than seven names in the Bible, but he has seven redemptive names, meaning that these names reveal what was accomplished for us through the cross. So in the first week, we talked about the name Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord my provider. And we know that the Lord has provided everything we need through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, David said in Psalm 23, I lack nothing. Last week, Nathan talked about the name Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. And the Bible says that on the cross, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and that by his wounds we are healed. And today, as we continue, we're going to look at the next name, which is Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord my banner. And this comes out of Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, which says, Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. Now, that begs the question, what does it mean when we say the Lord is my banner? Like, what does that mean? Well, I want you to think about, you know, I use sports analogies sometimes. Think about sports teams when they win a championship. Sometimes basketball teams, hockey teams, when they win a championship, usually there is a banner-raising ceremony to commemorate the victory. You know, I remember back in the 90s when the Bulls and Michael Jordan were just winning championship after championship. I can still remember there were times when I'd be watching TV and you get to watch the banner-raising ceremony that would happen up in Chicago. You know, if you think about the iconic photograph of six Marines hoisting the American flag, we'll put it on the screen, atop Mount Suribachi in Japan. That flag or banner indicated that victory had been achieved at that location. So in one sense, banners announce and declare victory. So if you dig into the story that precedes this moment with Moses, which we will, you will find that Israel had just experienced a victory in battle. And it's on the heels of this victory that Moses builds an altar and says, "The Lord is my banner." This is, in essence, him declaring the Lord is the source of my victory. And just like he was the source of victory for Moses and the Israelites, the Lord is the source of our victory. The Lord is our victory. The victory came through the cross. Colossians says he canceled the record of the charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The Lord is our source of victory. He is our victory. He is Jehovah Nissi. But here's the point I want to preach on today, and you know this because we've talked about this many times. Just because the Lord is our victory and the victory has been won, in no way means that there are no longer battles that we will have to fight. The battle for our minds, keeping our minds and hearts strong in the Lord. The battle for our homes, the battle for our community, the battle for, you know, what's going on in our country. And so what I want to do with the rest of our time is look at the story that preceded Moses building the altar. And we're going to talk about not only the reality of spiritual battles, but also how to battle God's way. How to battle God's way. So if you want to follow along in your Bible or the YouVersion app, you can turn or swipe to Exodus 17 and verse 8. Exodus 17 and verse 8. And as always, we'll also put the verses on the screens. Now, before we jump in, let me give you a little bit of context as to where we pick this story up today. So Moses has led the Israelites out of slavery, and here they are journeying towards the promised land. The Bible indicates at this point they've been journeying for somewhere around a month and a half. And the Israelites have put the Lord to the test several times. It's almost like they forget who the Lord is that's with them. You know, he's rescued them from Egypt. They've seen him perform all these mighty wonders. And as soon as they get out and start wandering and a need arises, it's like they forget that God is with them. And so they've grumbled about what they're going to drink, what they're going to eat. I mean, if you read it, there are some seriously hangry people amongst the Israelites. Anybody in here know what it's like to be hangry? Like when you get hungry, you get angry. All right, so we don't have to knock them, right? We would be in the same boat. When we get hungry, we get a little bit angry. Where's the food? And so at the beginning of chapter 17, they've come to a place called Rephidim, and there's no water. And again, the people start complaining against Moses and saying, "Why did you bring us out here? You bring us out here, just let us die of thirst? What are we doing?" And again, the Lord provides by making water come out of a rock. But it's while they're here in Rephidim that it says in verse 8, and this is where we'll pick up the story. It says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. So there's an attack that takes place. And there's two things I want you to recognize here before we move on. Okay, first, when we look at a passage like this that involves war, in the Old Testament, many times we tend to view it from a purely natural perspective. It's just people who are battling for land or for resources. So we tend to view it that way. But that is not how someone in Bible times would have viewed it. In fact, any Jew reading this story would not view this attack by the Amalekites as purely physical. That's because in almost every battle Israel takes up, there is a spiritual component to it in that it's the one true God, Yahweh, triumphing over the false gods of the Amalekites, Canaanites, Amorites, the Hittites, and the rest of the mosquito bites, right? These battles would not have been viewed as purely physical, but they would have been viewed as a spiritual battle. A cosmic battle where God triumphs over false gods. So I want you to understand, the story we're talking about today isn't just about a physical battle that took place. It's a story about a spiritual battle. It involves a spiritual component. Amalek represents the forces of evil that stand in opposition to God. So that's the first thing we need to understand, that there is a spiritual component to the battle we're talking about here. The second thing we need to recognize is that it involves when the attack takes place. Because the attack took place after the Israelites had been rescued out of Egypt, the land of slavery. And here's why this matters to us. Because at one time, just like Israel, the Bible makes the case that we were all enslaved. Look at what Romans 6 says. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So just like Israel was slaved out of slavery in Egypt, so when we surrender to Jesus, he saves us out of our own personal Egypt. He saves us out of slavery to sin and death. But understand, after you're rescued from Egypt, just like the Israelites found, the battle isn't over. Some of us had the idea that once we surrendered to Jesus, things would just be up and to the right. But that's not the reality, is it? Some of us are wondering today, like, what is going on? Did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me? Nope. There's going to be battles post-Egypt. That's part of walking with Jesus. When we surrender to Jesus, you understand the spiritual forces that oppose him now oppose us. Satan and demons hate Jesus, and therefore, by association, they hate you too. So get used to it. As a follower of Christ, you have a target on your back, and there will be spiritual battles post-Egypt. I love how John Eldridge put it in his book, Waking the Dead. He said, things are not what they seem. He said, you were born into a world at war. Revelation says that when Satan lost the battle with Michael and his angels, he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. That means that right now on this earth, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of fallen angels, foul spirits bent on our destruction. And what is Satan's mood? Revelation also says he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. You have an enemy, and then he closes with this. He's trying to steal your freedom, kill your heart, and destroy your life. We will face spiritual battles post-Egypt. But again, we don't have to fear because we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from a place of victory. The Lord is our victory. We don't have to fear, but we will face spiritual battles. Now, before we move on, there's a caveat here. Because on one extreme, we could go over here and say, everything has a spiritual component. Everything's a spiritual battle. On another extreme, we could go over here and just say, no, there's nothing spiritual about anything we face. And we don't want to be on either side of the extremes. We want to be here in the middle and just saying, you know what? While there are some things that happen because of us or just other things, there are some things that have a spiritual component to it. Not everything, but sometimes there is. You know, sometimes what we experience is purely because of us. You know, you've probably heard the term, everything happens for a reason. You heard the term, everything happens for a reason. You know, I've sat with people before who are experiencing the fruit of their own bad decisions. And I've heard them use the term, you know, I guess everything happens for a reason. And I wanna say, yeah, and the reason is because you made a dumb decision. The Lord's still working on my pastoral heart. But that's just the reality. Sometimes the reason is us. Other times, you know, what we experience is simply the fruit of living in a fallen world. A world is not as it's intended to be. You know, over 2 weeks ago, my wife and I, over two weeks ago, we were headed down south to spend some vacation time with Michaela's side of the family, and it will be forever remembered as the COVID vacation. Didn't go as planned. Now, everyone who got sick is fine, but was that the devil? Maybe. I tend to believe that sometimes that's just how it goes on this earth. Sometimes we get sick. It's the reality of living on this earth. So this morning, we're talking about spiritual battles, but I want you to hear me. Please don't hear me saying every battle we face is automatically a spiritual battle. There are some things that happen because of us, because of just the reality of living on earth. And so we need to make sure we are balanced in how we view this. But the story we're looking at today involves a spiritual battle. So we've laid the foundation, okay? Spiritual battles are a reality, and they will happen post-Egypt after we're saved. So we have to be prepared to engage. But how do we do that? Well, let's look at the rest of this passage, because we will find there are several lessons to be learned about engaging in a spiritual battle God's way. We're called to partner with him. So here's the first lesson. Lesson number one. Spiritual battles require us to engage in the physical and the spiritual. Spiritual battles require us to engage in the physical and the spiritual, or we could say in the natural and the supernatural. So look at what Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 11 says as we continue in this story. So the Amalekites attack, and it says, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. So you're going to go fight in the physical. Then he said, tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. In essence, I'm going to go war in the spiritual. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Now, interesting thing here, Hur is a he, kind of a, you prefer not to have that name if you're a dude, but whatever. He went to the top of the hill. Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So I want you to understand, the Amalekites attack and the plan moving forward involves two different modes of operation. I've talked about these before. Joshua in the valley, sword in hand. Moses on the mountain, staff in hand and hands lifted. This is the same staff that turned into a snake, ushered in plagues and split the Red Sea earlier in Exodus. So the staff symbolizes divine intervention. But here's what I want you to recognize. While both modes were embraced, if it were solely Joshua fighting in the physical and nobody warring in the spiritual, the Israelites would not have won. It says that when Moses' hands were raised, they would win. When they were lowered, they would begin to lose. In other words, the outcome of the battle wasn't tied to military prowess or skill. It was tied to what Moses did on the mountain. And the reason that some of us have been unable to overcome the spiritual battles we face is because we head to the valley and try to just fight in our own strength with willpower and determination, all the while neglecting the war on the supernatural plane. So yes, the Lord does ask us to do what's in our power. But we will not win the battle for our minds just trying to embrace positive thinking. You won't win the battle for your children and our students if it's solely about being a good parent and just embracing sound parenting tactics. We won't kick that addiction by simply trying harder. If there's a spiritual component to the battle you're facing, you have to go to war in the physical and the spiritual. It's got to be both. Valley and the mountain, sword and staff. So a couple of questions. How do you know if there's a spiritual component to what you're facing? Well, if you're doing everything you know to do in the natural and nothing is changing, there might be a spiritual component to it. Also, if what you're facing looks nothing like the kingdom of God, meaning there's no peace, there's no joy, there's nothing but chaos and disorder, there might be a spiritual component. Another question, if there is a spiritual component, what does it look like to war in the supernatural, in the spiritual? Well, that could happen in a lot of different ways, but let's look at what Moses did. The Bible says he lifted his hands. At the end of this passage, it says hands were lifted against the throne. And throughout the Bible, lifting hands relates to prayer, but it's also connected with worship. So I believe this passage teaches that for Moses, warring in the spiritual realm involved a mixture of prayer and worship. Prayer and worship together. I believe, and you've heard me say this, there is something powerful that happens when we bring those two together. So let's start with prayer. We could pray for ourselves. We could pray for others. We pray for protection. We rebuke and we resist the enemy. Sounds like I resist and I rebuke your efforts to oppress, afflict, or deceive me. I love what the archangel Michael did as recorded in the book of Jude when speaking with Satan. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." So you could use that and say, "You cannot have my family. The Lord rebuke you. You won't steal my joy. The Lord rebuke you. You can't have my health. The Lord rebuke you." And then you can also pray for angelic support. You know, when Jesus was tempted, it says angels came and ministered to him. In the book of Daniel, Daniel was touched by an angel and strengthened. There are lots of ways we can pray. And the key to remember is you don't have to get obsessed about the formula of what you're saying and the words you use. When it becomes about formulas and the words, it begins to turn into some type of religious incantation that will, you know, we believe will only prevail if we get it right. Just lift your prayers to the Lord. So we war through prayer, but we also war through worship. In many places in Scripture, we find that worship has the power to drive away the enemy. I love what Sam Storms, who was just here just a few weeks back, said about this in his book, Understanding Spiritual Warfare. He said, "Music devoted to God's glory, played or sung by a person in whom the Spirit dwells, creates a spiritual atmosphere that is repellent and offensive to Satan and his hosts." So when you're under spiritual attack, get the worship music rolling and start singing. You know, we talk a lot about having a quiet time, and I'm all for that, meaning, you know, spend time with the Lord in prayer, reading his word, but I'm also for having a loud time every once in a while. That means getting in the presence of the Lord and cranking up the worship music and just worshiping God and praying as you're doing it. I'll do this in my car. You know, I'll do this when no one's home. My brother Nathan and I, we come here during the week at times when this auditorium is empty, and we'll crank the worship music and we will worship and we will pray. And I love it because Nathan can't hear me singing off key. The music is so loud. But there's something that happens when we worship and pray. We war through prayer and worship. And I want to encourage you, if you're in the midst of a battle today, war through worship and prayer. Need both, a mixture of both. So we must engage in the physical and the spiritual. Here's lesson number two. Never fight alone. Never fight alone. It says, as we continue on, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. So here's Moses on the mountain, hands lifted, and he begins to tire. Now understand, Moses wasn't a slouch. The Bible tells us that when he died at the age of 120, his eyes were not weak and his strength was not gone. Some translations say he was strong as ever. So Moses has his strength, but understand, the longer the battle lasts, the heavier that staff gets. That staff is, you know, it weighed the same throughout, but the longer you hold it up, the heavier it gets, right? You ever been working out and, you know, you got to wait and say you're doing curls or something like that? The weight doesn't get heavier, but the longer you do it, the heavier it starts to feel. And this has something to say to us about spiritual battles. In that spiritual battles can wear down even the strongest and best of us, and spiritual battles are tiring, and the longer they last, the heavier they feel. But Moses didn't go up on that mountain alone. He brought Aaron and Hur. And when his hands began to fall, Aaron and Hur were there on each side holding his hands up. Why? Because if he loses the battle in the spiritual, they're going to be defeated in the physical. Many times the reason we are losing in the physical is because we are failing to engage in the spiritual. Much of what's happening in our country isn't just because we aren't doing enough on the physical. It's because we also need to be warring in the spiritual and praying against what's happening and praying for our leaders. So if he loses the battle in the spiritual, they'll be defeated in the physical. Let me ask you, who is holding up your hands in the midst of your battle? Some of us hate to admit we need help. This is me at times. We would prefer to just keep our heads down and keep moving. We think we can handle it ourselves. Hear me. Spiritual battles are never won alone. Joshua needed Moses. Moses needed Aaron and Hur. This is why the body of Christ, the church, is so important. Because it provides a place for us to find our own Aaron and Hurs. People who can come alongside us during our battles and hold our hands up. This is why we offer prayer down front after every service. And we invite you to come down so people can stand with you and pray with you. To be honest, I can't imagine where I would be today if not for godly men in my life who have encouraged me, prayed with me, and inspired me to keep fighting and pursuing the Lord in the midst of my battles. We all need Aaron and Hurs in our life. In fact, if you are in the midst of a spiritual battle and you're worn out at the end of the message today, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to come around you as a church, and we're going to be the church to one another and pray for one another, because you were not meant to fight alone. We were not meant to fight alone. So we war in the physical and the spiritual. We never fight alone, and the next thing we learn is don't settle for partial victories. This is the third lesson. Don't settle for partial victories. As it continues, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven.'" So this particular battle has been won, but God's not done with the Amalekites. So he says, "I want you to write down what I'm about to say, and I want you to make sure Joshua hears it. I'm gonna blot out the name of Amalek." Now, why does he want Joshua to hear this? Because he wants Joshua and those who will come after him to know that they are to partner with him and wipe out the Amalekites. In other words, you may have won this battle, but it's not over yet. There's gonna be other battles. Now, some of us would say, you know, why? We hear that and say, why would God wipe out a nation? That just doesn't reconcile in my mind with a God who, you know, whose love and a God I see in the Bible. Well, not to give a small answer to a large question, but for time's sake, let me just say the Lord knows the heart of people. And he is always patient, not wanting anyone to perish but come to repentance. But if after a time, and we know for certain in the Bible that the people that the Israelites would be displacing out of the promised land and the Amalekites, these people had 400 years, at least 400 years, to repent of their ways. And the Amalekites also stand in opposition to God's people. And so if after a time a people has demonstrated they will not turn and there's nothing good in their heart, there comes a time where the Lord says, "No more." And so in essence, the Lord says, don't settle for a partial victory. If you read down the line in the Bible, King Saul, the first king of Israel, was rebuked for not carrying out the Lord's command in regard to the Amalekites. And interestingly enough, after King Saul was wounded in battle, it was an Amalekite who aided him in his death. When you settle for partial victories, it always comes back to bite you. For example, you know, because of I've got some curvature and a curve in my spine, and I'm prone to tweaking some things from time to time. And so throughout my life, there have been times where I've gotten fed up with dealing with back pain and certain tweaks. And so I'll go and I'll begin to proactively have someone work with me about how do I strengthen the muscles around my spine. And I've done that many times in my life. And what'll happen is I begin to get relief and I feel good. And so I say, all right, I'm going to stop doing what I've been doing because I feel good now. And then what happens? Pretty sooner or later, you're right back in the same spot because I settled for a partial victory. I know better than that today. And in the same way, sometimes we do this in our spiritual battles. We experience a little bit of victory. We experience some level of freedom. And then it's like, oh, okay, I'm good now. My spouse and I don't have a great marriage, you might say, but at least we're not divorced. You could say, you know, I've experienced a lot of trauma and emotional abuse in my life, and I've seen some healing take place, so I'm content with that. I don't view pornography as much as I used to, so I'll take that. I'm good. I only fall into the same destructive patterns every once in a while, so I'm good there too. I still haven't forgiven such and such, but I'm not as bitter as I used to be. I don't want to kill them anymore. I just really hate them. So I'm good. Don't settle for partial victories. We serve Jehovah Nissi. He is our victory. And he has more he wants to do in and through your life if you will continue to partner with him. One of our values here at Northwoods is forgiveness and freedom. That means, yes, if we've been, the Lord forgives our sin, but he also wants us to walk in increasing greater levels of freedom. So why would we stop if the Lord wants to bring freedom to our life? Why would we stop at just saying, well, I've experienced a little bit, so I'm good? Let's not settle for partial victories. Let's continue to press in and say, Lord, I'm not settling. I want everything that you bring to my life. Victory, freedom. So we war in the physical and the spiritual. We don't fight alone. Also, like we just said, we don't settle for partial victories. And here's the last lesson. Thank the Lord for every victory. Thank the Lord for every victory. Moses built an altar, it says, and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, because hands were lifted against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So they rout the Amalekites, and instead of building a trophy for Joshua, Moses builds an altar to the Lord. So this is Moses' way of not only commemorating the Lord's victory, but also expressing praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for what he has done. And understand, Moses knows that while they've won the battle today, there will be more in the days ahead with the Amalekites and many others. But he didn't say, well, you know, let's wait till we get this thing completely buttoned up, till we get in the promised land and everything's taken care of to build an altar and, you know, and commemorate the victory and give him praise and give him thanks. He said, no, let's stop now. And I'm going to thank him and I'm going to praise him for this victory, even though the battle's not over. I know there will be more, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise and I'm going to thank him. And for some of us here, we're in the midst of a battle and the battle is far from over. But understand, you don't have to wait till it's over to start thanking the Lord and praising the Lord for what he has accomplished and will accomplish in the days ahead. You start thanking him and praising him, just like we sung earlier. I'm going to see a victory because my God is the source of my victory. So you say, Lord, I'm not free from this addiction yet. But I thank you for how far you've brought me, and I praise you because there are greater levels of freedom and victory you're going to bring to my life as I partner with you. You could say, Lord, sickness and disease in my body have worn me down, but I praise you because you are the Lord who not only heals us, but sustains us in the midst of our trials. Lord, my child has turned from you, but I choose to praise you today because I know that even when I can't see you working, you are working behind the scenes. And what the enemy meant for evil, you will turn for good. Come on, guys, you can give him praise. We can praise him in the midst of our battles. So if you are in the midst of a spiritual battle, yes, war in the physical, also in the spiritual. Don't fight alone. Have people come alongside you. Give him praise for what he's doing and don't settle for a partial victory. And now, as we close, I want to ask everybody to stand. And what I want to do is, like I said earlier in my message, I want this to be a time, just for a few moments here, where we are being the church to one another. The Bible says to pray for one another. And there are some of us here today who you're here and you are in the midst of a battle. And it is wearing you down. And you've been trying to just continue to walk through it on your own. But I want to say to you today, you need Aaron and hers in your life. You need people who will come alongside you and pray for you. And so what I'm going to do in a moment is, if you're here and you need prayer and you'd say, I just need someone to pray for me, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. Not yet, but in a moment, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. And I want you to know, here's what's going to happen if you put your hand up. If you put your hand up, what I'm asking you to do is not to share your life story. You put your hand up, I'm going to ask people in this church to come around you and lay hands on you, if you're okay with that, if you're comfortable with that. And I just want you to say, just in 5 to 10 seconds, I need prayer for, and just list it. Again, this isn't a time to share your life story. You could say, I need prayer for a child. I need prayer for my health. I need prayer for my mind. And you just say it, and then the people around you just start praying for you. And again, you're not praying long prayers. If you're coming around someone, you're just saying, Lord, I pray your blessing over them. I pray victory. Ask the Lord how he would have you pray. And so we're just going to do this for 2 or 3 minutes. It's not going to be real long. I know this might be intimidating, threatening to some of you, but listen, this is what we do as the church. If we can't do this here, how are we going to do it out there? And so I want to ask you, if you're here today, and you just say, I would love someone to come around me and pray for me right now. I'm in the midst of a battle. I just want you right now to just slip your hand up and keep it up. Put your hand up. Praise God. Put your hand up. It's not okay. It's okay to admit that we need people. It's okay. And now I want you to keep your hand up in church. I want you to look around. And if there's someone with a hand around you up, I just want you to go and place your hands on them. Keep your hand up until you have someone, you have people around you. Now, if you have people around you, you can put your hand down. If you still have no one around you, I want you to keep your hand up. If you still need prayer, keep your hand up so we can find you. All right. And now what I want you to do is just, if you're the person that had your hand up, just a short sentence to say, I need prayer for this. And then after they've said what they need prayer for, I want to release you for just 2 to 3 minutes. Again, we're not praying long prayers. If you're praying, you're just praying short prayers for this person over the next, I'll give you 2 minutes. So go, let's pray for one another. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in this moment. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for other believers who can come alongside us and hold our hands up in the midst of our battle, Lord. And Lord, I pray fresh strength over people in the midst of battles today. We rebuke, we resist the enemy's work. And Lord, I pray that there would be victory today in the supernatural, that would release victory right now in the natural in people's lives. Lord, we ask for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just keep giving him praise. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. We praise you for the victory you're bringing to our lives, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are our Jehovah Nissi. You are the Lord who is our victory. And Lord, I declare that victory over every person under the sound of my voice. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, church. I love it. I love it. We love you, Lord. Church, thank you for being the church to one another. Hey, have a great week, and we'll hope to see you back next week. If you need prayer for anything, again, we'll have a prayer team down front, and we would love to pray with you. Northwoods Online, always great to have you tuning in with us. And like I just mentioned, if you need prayer for anything, we have a prayer team online that would love to pray with you as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. Love you guys. Praying for you. Remember, the Lord is your victory, and we don't fight for victory. We fight from that place of victory. Praying the Lord's victory in your life today. Have a great week.
Being with us, thank you, John, for just a great message out of Exodus talking about how the Lord is our banner. How powerful is that name of God? Loved learning about that this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like we said before service and like you heard in announcements, there are so many ways for you to get plugged in and connected. And you know, we say that. We say, get plugged in, get connected. But the truth is that living in community is one of the most important parts of just being human. And then when we can surround ourselves with other believers who are going to love us and encourage us and walk through life with us, I mean, it is truly life-changing, right? Yeah, to have those kinds of friendships. And so we want you to find those and form those, and the classes and groups and everything that we have going on at Northwoods is just one way that you can get connected, get in community, and then grow closer to Jesus. So again, I invite you to go onto the website to check out the app and find a place to plug in this fall.
That's right. Well, I think that's about all we have for you this morning. Make sure you join us next week as Pastor Kurt Smith, one of our Life Help pastors, will be talking about how God is our peace, another very powerful redemptive name of God. So we'll see you next Sunday.